Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that you can dial us at 401-1413. That is 904-401-1413. That number gets you straight through to the studios, right to the microphone, so we can have dialogue and discussion today. We'd love to have your input. In fact, we challenge you to be salt and light, and as salt and light, God would have us to be involved. And perhaps each day as you tune into this broadcast, you have questions or comments, you have issues that you would like to discuss, and you say, why didn't he discuss this or that, whatever it is? Let me encourage you, if you have an issue, theological, doctrinal, political, if you have a question, doctrinal, theological, or biblical question that you'd like for me to respond to by way of this broadcast, but you'd rather not call in, you'd rather not have a dialogue and discussion on the air, be delighted to have you email your question, email your comment, or whatever doctrinal, biblical, theological question you may have. You can do so by going to your website, going to our address, that is info, I-N-F-O, at conservative.edu. You go to info at conservative.edu and ask your question or suggest a discussion issue that you would like for us to address by way of this radio broadcast. We'd love to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, let me remind us, as I do day after day on this broadcast, that we face the issues based on biblical truth, the authority of the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? And as I have reminded you over and over and over again, when we go to the Scripture is not some diatribe or dialogue or discussion by denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not ideological. It's not philosophical. It's simply biblical truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus made a declaratory statement where he said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, let me encourage us to do so, not based on philosophical rhetoric, but based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And let me remind you once again, that telephone number is 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Jot it down or recall it. At any point in this broadcast, you can call, enter into the discussion and the dialogue in relationship to the subject matter today. I'm going to use a title that I did not originate. I'm going to use a title from a book that a friend of mine, John Stormer, wrote a number of years ago. He's Missouri. He wrote a book entitled, None Dare Call It Education. None Dare Call It Education. I reckon John's book was written and published some 20 plus years ago. And his name is John Stormer, S-T-O-R-M-E-R. Google that name. He had written a book back in the 60s entitled None Dare Call It Treason. And then about 20 years ago or thereabouts, wrote a book, wonderful dialogue and discussion on education and the deplorable condition of education and what's taking place in America even then. And I think it is apropos and applicable even today with what we're finding in our educational system. So I want us to talk about today, None Dare Call It Education. Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ organization, the Center for Law and Justice, he's the chief counsel. He said, Christian students face a growing anti-Christian harassment at school. Let me just read you part of his latest writing on that subject. Speaking of the Christians, let me go back and say, Christian students face growing anti-Christian harassment at school. Their Christianity is being treated like a virus. The Bible is banned. They, speaking of the Christian students, are called out in class for expressing their faith. The cross is treated as contraband. Bible clubs are banned or ostracized by school officials. One little elementary school girl was banned from drawing a picture of Jesus, had her Bible confiscated, and was instructed that she could never, ever mention her faith at school again. A little boy was repeatedly threatened with punishment for doing Bible reports on Bible stories. He goes on to say, we've spent decades taking on these cases, even all the way to the Supreme Court and winning. But as the threats increase, Christians denied admission to colleges and even banned from public praying, religious liberty is the cornerstone of America, and our children are its future. The Bible, prayer, Christian faith, they're all under attack in our public school system. That is from Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, wonderful pro bono Christian defense organization in America. And I don't know of anything that's any more profound than the statement that he's made. Christian students face growing anti-Christian harassment at schools. Keep in mind, we're talking about none dare call it education. Ladies and gentlemen, as parents, we must act, and I say that we must act now. I say that we can no longer, as parents and grandparents, sit in silence. We can no longer simply object or opine in some fashion. We must be decisive in our action. In fact, Dr. James Dobson has said for the past 2 years, he's advocated for Christian parents to pull their child and their children out of the public school system. There are several years now he has advocated that, and I believe that should be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is happening to this generation from kindergarten through university level in the governmentally controlled schools. We are brainwashing our students. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence says and points to the fact that professors in the universities and colleges have not tried to shun or in any way shy away from their position. About 97% of them admit that they are ranked liberals. Overwhelming majority of them are, as I call it, loose likes lost looney tunes, and they have a philosophy that for the kids that go there, parents that have sent them, most of them are the Ivy League universities and schools, all of them are public universities and colleges where our tax money is paying for abundance of the tuition. Students coming out of school with a four-year college degree that are ignoramuses that do not know most of what ought to be known even in high school by high school graduation, and yet spending hundreds of thousands and yea millions. The latest statistical data shows that it's like $1.3 trillion worth of educational loans that are now outstanding. Many of them will never be paid because the students come out of college, university, they have a credential in the hand that's not worth 2 cents as far as the marketplace is concerned. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what's happening, not just in the colleges and universities, but from kindergarten through high school and from kindergarten through university level. Because our public school system today is nothing more than an incubator for brainwashing our young kids, brainwashing this younger generation. This is the reason we find in the 18 to 35-year-old age group, we call the millennials today, that they feel they're so brilliant, but you put them out on the street corner and have someone with a microphone asking them questions, they cannot answer 99% of the questions that are being propounded for them to respond to simply because they've not been properly educated. Jordan Peterson warns parents, and may I just read some of his article. Jordan Peterson, he is a professor from Canada. He was interviewed on Fox News recently on Fox and Friends. He is talking about not the Canadian system of education, but he's talking about the American system of education. By the way, the Canadian system is not a whole lot better. In fact, their whole system of what you call morals and ethics and values have dropped to the toilet level today. But Jordan Peterson warns parents, quote, dangerous people indoctrinating young minds at the colleges. Here's the article. Canadian professor Jordan Peterson warned Tuesday of the expansion of humanitarian disciplines on college campuses, especially radical liberal institutions, end quote. Peterson warned parents in a video about sending their children to liberal colleges, saying that by doing so, they'd be supporting ideologues who claim that all truth is subjective, that all sex differences are socially constructed. Quote, if you're a taxpayer or paying for your kid's liberal arts degree, you're underwriting this gang of nihilists. You're supporting ideologues who claim that all truth is subjective, that all sex differences are socially constructed, and that the Western imperialism is the sole source of all third world problems. They're the postmodernist pushing progressive activism at a college near you, Peterson said. Ladies and gentlemen, he was appearing on Fox and Friends. Peterson backed up his remarks and said that on all levels of education, faculties are mostly comprised of radical people, end quote. He says ideologues have a very simple way of looking at the world, he said. They reduce it to a few principles like inequality and unfairness and power. Further, he says, they have very low academic standards and they're corrupting the minds of the rest of our society, end quote. Peterson said that as more research becomes available about the political leanings of universities across the country, parents will wise up and not let their children attend colleges that are playing an ideological game. And he goes on further with major statements in relationship to his preamble about taking the students out of the colleges and universities in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this man, Jordan Peterson, I don't know him. I watched him as he was interviewed on Fox and Friends the other day. I downloaded the parts of the article that he had talked about during the course of his interview. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe he is exactly right. May I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, grandmothers and grandfathers, it's tragic, yet it's very, very real. Our millennials are not being educated in the traditional sense of education. This is the reason I've called this broadcast today. None dare call it education. We're calling the educational system education. We have the U.S. Department of Education. By the way, President Trump has said he's going to abolish the U.S. Department of Education. It's already been merged with the Department of Labor. And I pray that eventually it will be ultimately banned, destroyed, disbanded, and send education back to the state level so that our state governance bodies will send all education back to the local level so that the local school boards, which are elected by we the people, can be put in office and or taken out of office based on what they are doing for training of our kids, kindergarten through high school in particular. But even more particular than that, the college and university system, where it is no longer an incubator for education, but an incubator for ideological brainwashing and absolutely destroying the future of America. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413. Love to have you jump in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you totally disagree with my observations and my statements. That's fine. Let's talk about it. Perhaps you have evidence of what I'm saying that you have found in the hearts and the minds of your sons or daughters. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Psalms 127 and verse 3 that our children are an heritage from the Lord. The scripture is very clear that it says to a parent in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And actually from the transliteration from the Hebrew text, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he would have become old, he will not have departed from it. A parent's responsibility is to train our children, our sons and daughters, based on the authority of Scripture. God gives us children, sons and daughters, that it might be a microcosm in our home, a microcosm of what heaven will be like. And therefore, we have the responsibility as parents to train them. In fact, in the Shema, as it is called, in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and verse 4 and following, and it's speaking to Israel, but it's applicable to every human being in America and around the globe today, especially as parents, the scripture says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 is the key. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That is saying that there should be a constant teaching and training of Scripture to the young hearts and minds in our homes. Ladies and gentlemen, if we as parents have that responsibility, then are we shirking our responsibility and duty? Are we some way abandoning what God has created us for and what He's given us children in our homes for by sending them off to the brainwashing institutions and not having any care or concern about what's being taught? I think it's time, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that we shut down everything that's called public education. I am absolutely that horrifically saddened by what we're seeing in the destruction of the young minds. Rush Limbaugh says, and to use the term, our kids go into these colleges and universities with mush brains, and then that is addled and destroyed even more. But ladies and gentlemen, I simply put it a little more benevolently. We send our sons and daughters and grandkids to college, and we're expecting them to be academically trained, and academics, reading and writing and arithmetic, as we used to call it, is no longer the agenda in the public educational system. Here's an article that says, Christian professor claims opposition of abortion flies in the face of Jesus. A North Carolina professor of religious studies, argued Monday that Christians should support abortion for basically any reason the mother wants to. Quote, "There's nothing Christian about requiring women to justify their reason for abortion," Peters wrote, "and there is certainly nothing Christian about forcing women to continue pregnancies against their will," end quote. She based her arguments on the assertion that many Christian denominations will allow abortions in at least limited circumstances. Professor Peters argued Christians are wrong to support some abortions but to oppose others. She goes further by saying, "A Christian vision of abundant life requires that we recognize and support the development of healthy and robust families," end quote. Quote, "It requires that we respect women and their moral decision that they make about their families. A Christian approach to supporting healthy families recognizes that only individual women and their partners," notice it didn't say husbands, "and their partners are able to determine their ability to parent a child." And further, this female professor says, "If we truly value women and healthy families, we must accept that 'I do not want to have a baby' is an eminently appropriate reason to end a pregnancy," end quote. Quote, "We must trust that pregnant women are the only ones who are capable of making these decisions." Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to find in a secularized, humanistic, governmentally controlled college, university, that kind of diatribe, but to find it where a professor in a Christian institution is a Department of Religion in a North Carolina public institution of higher education is saying that Christians should approve abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything any greater stench in the nostrils of God than that. Just think, a Department of Religion, by the way, let me just simply tuck this in. There's a vast difference in a liberal arts school with a Department of Religion and a Bible college or a theologically Christian university and what's being taught. Many of these liberal arts schools with a Department of Religion have absolutely watered down diatribe that's nothing compared to biblical theological truth that ought to be taught in a Christian venue through a Christian seminary and Christian university. What would you think if you sent your student that you think is going to be trained at a public university and they're Christian and they're taking courses on Bible in the Department of Religion and a professor then brainwashes them into believing that if you're really a Christian, you should have an open heart and an open mind and allow abortion? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible calls that murder, and I'm adamantly opposed to it. The Bible says that we're made in the image of God. Therefore, all lives matter, even infants in the womb. And abortion is murder. We have killed some 61 million since 1973 by way of abortion. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
You're certainly on a roll, but I want to piggyback on what you said with some personal experience that will underscore the reality of what you're speaking about. Over, let's say, 15 years ago, I took some time off from my normal profession to become a high school science teacher for 1 year in the Northeast Florida area at a what was reputed to be a conservative area of Northeast Florida. I did so because of a writing project I was working on. I needed to do the research, and so I taught school for a year under a special program that the state has. In that time, this is what I learned. I stand by these statements, and I put it down on paper a number of years ago. One, the school system is exactly like you said. It is infected with a feminist philosophy that is obvious, intense, overbearing, and if it is challenged, they will come back at you as a male conservative teacher with a vengeance that you can't imagine, even in the school system. So feminism rules, and that comes out of the three institutions, one of which you've already mentioned, that governs our school system now, which is the Department of Education, created by that knucklehead Jimmy Carter, but also given to us by the American Association of University Women and the Harvard University School of Education. Those three work together to create this feminist, new world, anti-God, anti-father-God agenda. It's there, and I want to underscore that. I found that in this conservative school system. Second point that I want to make is that in the school system, children are no longer held to the kind of godly standard that you and I were taught and our generations before us. Respect for country, respect for our fellow human being, but more importantly, respect for the Word of God. When I, in appropriate circumstances, let my faith be known to my students, I had some very severe challenges from those who thought I was stepping across the line. That did not. It did nothing more than advocate for things from my point of view that they did from their point of view, and was able to demonstrate it in the curriculum in a couple ways with respect to the nonsense of global warming, just using some basic science principles, and allow the students to make up their mind which was right and do a paper on it. But our school system, now here's the controversial part, but I'm standing by the statement. As with my extensive experience with the media when I was in the Air Force and serving the media as part of my daily duties, I have found in the school system a much lower level of academic achievement and really general knowledge than in any other professional group of which I've had some experience. And I've had experience with a large number of people in the rather unique background that I have. But I want to repeat, the media and those in education are the least accomplished academically of any of I've seen. And then a final point that I want to make, the people who are provide the leadership in these teachers' unions and those who are the entrenched educators, at least in the high school that I was in, which was considered one of the better and more conservative high schools, the entrenched leadership is predominantly a bunch of incompetent people occupying a position called teacher, collecting a paycheck, and then teaching nebulous garbage to those children who are under them. And I want to repeat that, teaching nebulous garbage. When you hold their feet to the fire, you generate an uproar that you can't believe. So I'm going to close out now with this statement. Good sir, you're 100% right in what you're saying. Satan has infected the school system of America, and any parent who does not get into what their kids are learning at school, know what's going on, and consider the option of teaching them themselves, if at all possible, or forming an association of moms or perhaps dads that are available to do homeschooling or get them in a good Christian high school or elementary school or middle school, whatever you got to do, you need to do it. Because as parents, by the verse you quoted, the Shema of Israel, it is our responsibility to know the Word of God and to teach it diligently to our children at all times in every circumstance. And that includes the schools. You are right on, sir, so keep preaching it. And I hope I've been able to underscore what you've just said. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. And let me just add to that for just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, thousands of elementary school teachers fail the state math exams. Educators Union blamed the test. Ladies and gentlemen, here's this article was written August the 2nd of 2018, and it says some teachers are having trouble passing portions of their state's licensing exams, and the exams are being blamed. Thousands of elementary school teachers have failed portions of their state's license exam, and it's placing their careers in danger. Here's two or three places that's mentioned here, and of course it's prevalent across the nation. It says in North Carolina, about 2,400 elementary school teachers have failed the math portion of their license exams over the past 5 years, according to the Charlotte Observer reporting. Another state, teachers in the state of Florida and Indiana have struggled with the mass failures since adopting the testing procedures to test the teachers. In 2017, failure rates from Florida teacher certification and leadership exams posted an all-time high, about 30% on portions of the exams failed. The article says some education students pass their degree programs but struggle to pass the license exam, according to the associate's dean at the University of South Florida College of Education. He told the station. He added that other colleges and universities' educational programs across the nation are seeing the same trend. Ladies and gentlemen, it amplifies what I have just been talking about and what our caller illustrated so eloquently is the fact that we have an educational system today that's not based on education anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, if our teachers cannot pass an exam in math or other subjects to be able to teach the subject, why should they be put in the classrooms? In the state of Florida alone, multitudes of counties have replaced regular teachers because they could not get recertified for teaching. They have put substitute teachers on a full-time basis in those classrooms because the teachers are not being able to pass the exams to show credentials that they're qualified to even walk in the classroom and teach. And when you analyze, ladies and gentlemen, the teachers' union meetings each year, generally it's May or June, when you analyze what's called the planks of their agenda, you will find zip, zero, nada, nothing relating to education and the need to have higher educational standards. Most everything, almost 100% of their agenda is to promulgate the sodomite lifestyle, to promulgate abortion, to promulgate something about the LGBTQ agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the focus of the liberal U.S. Department of Education and the Teachers Educational Union today that's filling the heads of our young people with all of this diatribe. They're talking about abortion. In fact, in most of our public schools today, including the colleges and universities, the Bible is banned, prayer is banned, Islam is promoted, homosexuality and transgenderism is openly advocated, sodomite marriage is pushed, the LGBTQ agenda via sex education is top priority, the parents are not permitted to see what their students are being taught in the public arena. In fact, I've got some articles where parents had gone in and demanded that they see the videos that the schools had been showing to their kids, which is nothing but raw pornographic material produced by the LGBT community to indoctrinate our students about the what they're calling, not my words, their words, what they're calling queerism and the need for the students to understand, embrace, and accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, parents are not permitted to see this material. Islamic prayer rugs are provided for the Islamic students, where they can get up, walk out of the classroom anytime during the day they want to, even during instructional period, and go to fall down on a prayer rug that's paid by taxpayers. Ladies and gentlemen, Islamic prayer rugs, the teachers' textbooks, and the textbooks that are being used today are far cry from education. None dare call it education as a correct title for what we've been talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.